and welcome to episode 276 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, writer of MI666, and joining me this week are the creator of Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
That's like in a haunted house. Yeah.
I would ask you if you're in Bly Manor, Dan, but you don't want to be there.
No, because I'd have left immediately because I don't like
Emily
the
in the City. Emily in Paris was good. That was a good series.
And speaking of which, the man with his finger on the pulse of every rom-com, or whatever, it's Tony Esmond.
You know I'm down with the younger generation.
No, you're not. And don't start this. Look, uncle. This week, be prepared, people.
Yo, shut up, Poochie.
Because Tony is going, I think he's activated his old man mode already.
I've already bonded with Zoe over the fact that I'm 40 years older than her. So it's going.
I mean, what can you say? But yes, this week we are joined by a creator who's exploded onto the scene this year with her debut graphic novel, The Impending Blindness of Billy Scott, is Zoe Thorogood.
Hello. Hello. I'm here.
Hello, Zoe.
Hello. Hello, Zoe.
Now, as always, we've been chatting with the guest a little bit before the show. And
like,
if the past 5 minutes are any indication, it's going to be a crazy one, folks.
Try and behave, I promise.
You've already compared us to Saturday Night Television, which I kind of like, to be fair.
Yeah. We talked about Class A's.
Vince is the sort of Shane Ritchie of the show, you know.
What? What?
All right, Danny Dyer.
Thank you. Yes, so if I can actually find something that may be usable, not in a court of law, you might hear some of that in the outtakes, so stay tuned after the credits, folks. And we will, of course, be talking about the journey of Zoe creating her first ever graphic novel, the art process, and more soon enough. It's going to be a mad show. But first, we have a lovely bit of news that we just want to shout about. Tony, do you want to take it away?
Yeah. Welcome to the world of comics. Francis Lucille Tucker. Congratulations to Lauren and John Tucker.
Hey.
On the birth of their baby girl. Yeah, so that's very cool.
Congratulations.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome news.
But don't forget you've got a Kickstarter to put out, John, just so we're clear.
Yeah. And he's got his Twitch channel and everything. I mean, he's turning into a real multimedia event, isn't he?
His daughter's done Twitch channel face or something. He's got this thing that Twitch people do or something, this face he makes. He's caught his baby doing it.
I think
it's
the face that John makes. I don't, you know.
I don't know. This is
I know, what a face. I don't know. What a face. Yeah. But yes, congratulations. Obviously, you know, it's already in the world of comics. So what a great place to start.
Yeah. Good stuff. Congratulations, guys. Yeah, it's lovely.
Yeah. So, and John churns out loads of comics all the time. So I'm sure this won't slow down his output.
No. Sure.
No? Right, we'll revisit this subject in 6 months.
Reflections on their fatherhood from John.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Because you love the people who just talk about their baby the whole time.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Do you know what else is... No, that's a terrible segue.
Are you still there, Zoe? Have you gone?
Yeah, I'm fed up already. Sorry, bye.
Oh, dear. Do you know what? I honestly thought I would have heard our sponsors say that before now. And do you know who our sponsor is?
Comic House.
It's Comic House, yes. Ooh, it's back in the game. Yes, Comic House are our sponsor, and they're the indie comic marketplace with a difference. We love them. Everyone else who signs up for them loves them as well. There's a huge selection of titles on the Comic House database. If you self-publish your work, you can list your book on there for free, start selling your hard copies of your comics straight away. Another avenue to get your work out there. But the thing that we shout about all the time is the Comic House app. It's fantastic. It's only £3 a month. It's basically like Netflix for comics. A term that... we cheaply coined all those years ago, and now seems to be a bit of a thing, doesn't it, really? You know.
Mm. Episode 100, they took us on, didn't they? So that's been a few years, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Blimey.
Cheers, Pete.
Pete and the Comic House guys have been cursed with these adverts ever since. But it's a fantastic way to read your digital indie comics and support indie creators. And it's been updated all the time. What stuff's on there at the moment, Dan?
We've got Lacey Investigations, The Mayor's Daughter, Volume 1. SCI, Superhuman Crime Investigators, Issue 4, Homecoming. I think I've read the first three of those.
Yeah, the guy who does that follows me on Instagram. He's just like a nice bloke. Yeah.
It's the publisher's Reading's Best Comics. I can't imagine there's too many comics put out in Reading, but I'm sure they're the best.
Bloody hell, Mist. Dan, that was a bit of a
Dragon's
shot across
Mist.
The bow.
I did Dragon's a Dragon's Mist earlier.
The Indifference Engine, Volume 2. And finally, the cherry on the cake, The Last Sheriff, Part 6.
And
Reckless Heroes.
I see that their new book's all packaged and being sent out, isn't it? I haven't had mine yet, but hopefully any day.
Well, I've downloaded my digital copies, which have already gone out. But who doesn't love a printed book? I'm going to read it when the print. I mean, thank you guys. You're being on it, properly on it with the Kickstarter.
They have been. That's good timing. Yeah. They've done well there, man. Yeah, it's a nice production line of book there.
But you won't hear me talk about it until I've got the printed book in my hands.
Yeah, there's a few books I don't mind reading digitally, but that's not one of them. I'd rather just read it full. Yeah.
But if you do like reading digital comics or want to get into the world of comics, then you know the Comic House app is a great way to go. Also, if you're an indie or self-published creator, it's really worth putting your work on there. Even if it's just like a little, you know, small comic, you know, that you did ages ago, and it's just gathering dust on your hard drive or whatever, put it on the Comic House app because, you know, you will get
money.
And you'll get a bit of money from it.
You don't get loads, but you do all right. Yeah. You know what I mean? You get some money back. Yeah. It's good.
For instance, on some other platforms, you have to earn a certain amount before you even get the price of a packet of crisps as your royalties. But Comic House is just putting the work back into the indie comic marketplace, which is brilliant. So go to comichouse.com to find out more. There's a 14-day free trial. And also, if you want your kids to get into comics, there's an all-ages section as well, which they've been working hard on. So there you go. Go check it out now. Ooh, I'll tell you what. It's not too bad, is it? That went too bad.
That went all right. I'm going to say get your kids into comics is a way to say it. Don't say to get kids into comics because it's a bit creepy, isn't it? Just people getting random kids into comics. It comes across wrong.
Oh, yeah.
So I said your kids, like you just said.
I see what you mean. But you could have
said it. I recently sat about like having a big push of getting kids making comics for kids. And there's definitely saying Comic House needs more kids' comics. So if you've got a kids' comic, think about uploading it to the catalogue.
Yeah, because we need another generation of readers.
Yeah. Poochie comics, that's what we need.
No, right. Is that because you basically called me a dog the other night?
No, because Poochie, when we did Happy Birthday Tom,
Tom.
We did his pub quiz last night, and you had a pair of like green lensed sunglasses on.
No, they weren't. They were golden lensed. They were my G.I. Joe sunglasses.
And you had a baseball cap on.
Yes, you heard that right, folks. I'm fucking gangster. I love those sunglasses.
and
looked
amazing.
You had a
baseball back on backwards. You look like Poochie the dog out of The Simpsons.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with it at all.
I can deal with that. I've been called worse. Seriously.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, normally by everyone on the show.
Yes.
Including the guests. But maybe this week could be different.
Yeah.
Have I got to think of insults as well?
No, please don't.
I'll tell you something. Keep an eye on your DMs.
I'm thinking of things.
Oh, God.
Well, listen, Avery Hill's quite respectable.
They are, debatable now they've got me on board, but
I know Kat carries a knife in her sock, so you be careful there.
God, yeah, you can say that now that she's not on the show, can't you, Tony? Because you're terrified of her.
Yeah, I am. Scared of her. Yeah.
Good reason.
Yeah. But of course, yes, we speak about Avery Hill and Zoe's first book, The Impending Blindness of Billy Scott, came, which I'm just going to call Billy Scott for the rest of this show because. Yeah. You know, it's a cool title, but I'm going to fuck it up at some point if I keep trying to say the whole title through the rest of the show. Been released through Avery Hill. And congratulations on the book, by the way, Zoe.
Yeah, well done.
Yes, a chunk of work.
Yes.
Great stuff.
Yes. And beyond the world of reviews and et cetera, or, you know, people patting themselves on the back just to get some tweets or whatever, it's hard not to go anywhere without actually seeing people who have bought the book actually sort of post up and talking about how much they enjoy it, which is always fantastic. I mean, that must be a pretty cool feeling for your first graphic novel.
Yeah, it's been a bit bizarre. I was almost, okay, this is going to sound really weird, but I was almost hopeful that some people were absolutely gonna hate it, because now I'm a bit scared that everybody seems to have liked it so far, and I'm like, shit, my next book has to be good. I was kind of hoping it was gonna be like, it's fine.
Sell comics through controversy. Sometimes you see the sales go up when people just rake a book. Do you know what I mean? It's a funny one.
True. Does that mean you want us to be horrible to you for the rest of this show?
Please.
No, please.
No,
don't.
I'll cry. Oh, I can't take it. But no, it's been so nice seeing the feedback. I wasn't expecting it at all. Like, when I finished it, I thought, okay, I think I've made something quite nice here. Like, I was like, yeah, it has its flaws, but it's fine. And then I started getting messages from people about it, like singing its praises. It's so bizarre, because when I read stuff about it, I kind of disconnect that I am the creator, if that makes sense. It's really hard to explain, but like when I'm reading reviews and stuff, it's like, it takes me a while to be like, oh wait, I made that. I did that.
Yeah, I guess it's the review effect, isn't it? Sometimes you sort of...
Sorry, like how people call me Thorgood.
It's kind of too near Zoe. It's not right. It doesn't. Yeah. You're right about your work.
Very strange.
I think the thing is, Thorgood, as well, is that you probably finished it a while ago, and it's a bit in the past now. Sometimes you get to a book, isn't it? Especially when you're going through a publisher. I mean, when did you finish this? Probably a good few months ago, I'm guessing. Is it?
It was the end of July.
Oh, okay. So fairly recent. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the thing was, it's like as soon when I finished it, and. Ricky can attest to this, the editor for it. When I finished the book, I sent it to him, and I lettered it so ridiculously fast because I didn't want to read it. And so it had like hundreds of spelling mistakes and like a stupid amount of spelling mistakes because I just wanted to detach from it as soon as possible. Like I'd been looking at this book for so long, for days on end. And so I think as soon as I handed everything in and everything was fixed, I was like, I'm going to forget that I did that. And that was something I did, because otherwise I'm just going to be anxious about it forever.
I mean, for those people who haven't seen it, it's 164 pages. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you want to give a little rundown of spoiler? Free rundown of what it's about, just for anyone who hasn't so far read it or heard about it?
Yes, of course. I'm really bad at this. The book is in The Impending Blindness of Billy Scott, which pretty much explains the whole plot. It's about a young artist who's about to have her first gallery exhibition, and a few months before she has to get all her work in, she is involved in an altercation that means that she starts losing her eyesight and is told that she's going to go blind in 2 weeks. And so the story is about her journey of how she's going to handle this impending blindness. And she decides that she's going to put this gallery exhibition together. And it's her last attempt, you know, last chance to really put her work together. Yeah, that was awful. But there we go.
No, that's exactly what it says on the tin. I mean, that's what the book is about. And
that's a big anxiety of everyone, blindness, isn't it? Especially for us comic readers. It does play on your bad dreams, doesn't it, a little bit, that, I think.
Yeah. It's something that's terrified me for a long time. Yeah. Especially as someone who has awful eyesight and has a lot of eye problems.
Right.
It was definitely spawned from my own fears of that.
Yeah, and I know we're getting to the serious stuff already. Blimey, don't worry, I'll get into nonsense in a minute. Don't worry.
Yeah. We'll return.
She'll call me a horrible name and everyone will laugh and then we'll be back to normal. No, because I remember at the time, because this is a personal book to you and you do have personal experience with some of these things. I did notice at one point during the social media before it, you had to deal with an issue of people talking about you're writing a book about a disability or blindness, but you're not blind yourself, and you had to. I thought you dealt with that very well. But I'm guessing things like that you didn't expect to come up, and you know.
Yeah, it was bizarre. The thing that I found most, I guess, insulting about it is it was before the book was even out, and I mean, I've had a few comments before, just after the book was announced, of people saying, I hope this book isn't going to portray blindness as a burden and a massive problem. That made me feel a bit like, oh God, have I got eyes on me for doing, no pun intended. But yeah, and then shortly before the book was released in reviews, people were like, oh, well, you know, basically insinuating that it was somehow problematic for a supposed seeing person to create a book about.
That was a load of nonsense. You know. The thing is, 90% of that book, the character is a seeing person.
Well, yeah. But it was, it's bizarre. And it's the fact that I had to kind of issue my own. No, actually, I have got severe eye issues and I am at risk of blindness myself, which is why I made the book in the first place.
I
don't know. But I think that's the thing with social media and with the internet, like everything is going to be criticized. Like, no matter what it is, you can do the most well-meaning thing possible and it will be criticized. And it's just one of those things, I guess.
Yeah, you dealt with it in a very sort of grown-up sort of way. And like you say, a lot of these times, you know, the people that shout the loudest are the people that haven't read it. They haven't seen anything. They'll just see, you know, they'll see 140 characters of a tweet and then make a judgment. You know.
And they're also the people who won't end up buying it.
It was a bunch of people talking about it on a review. So they didn't follow me. They didn't know who I was. Like, I've spoken about my eye problems very publicly before, so it's like it's probably easy information to find.
Just a little bit of research. We've said it a million times on this show. Just a little bit of research goes a long way, especially if you're talking about comics. And
a representation of disability in comics is something we've had a whole episodes on, Zoe, and now let's go back and listen to Andy Clift's one. It was probably one of the most enlightening of our episodes that we've ever had, because he spoke very openly about it. And I don't think, putting words in Andy's mouth, I don't think he's against people who haven't got a disability writing about it. It's just that they write about it in the right way.
That's my exact feeling as well.
And you know, it's quite a big subject to do as your first book, and it is, I mean, it's about more than just that. It's about a character and how they come out of their shell at this particular point as well. I'm gonna try and not give any spoilers away, but there's so much that's revealed through the book as it goes on, and this introverted artist is put in a position where they have to step basically into the world.
I feel like the book the blindness thing is the whole catalyst, but I would say that that's not the key thing that the book is trying to say. Like, a lot of it is about anxiety and self-worth and, you know, finding your place in this world that you've kind of hidden away from. And I think that the blindness thing, I think people grab onto that because it's like, oh, it's scary and whatever, but the book really does not focus on that much, I would say.
I mean, to me, reading it, I read it today and I very much enjoyed it. But the thing for me is the idea of getting out there and enjoying life and experiencing the richness of it. And you've portrayed a character who has that in a limited time. So they've had to kind of fit in a lot of experience and a lot of life was it 5 days? I can't remember now. Is it 5 days?
It was 2 weeks.
Two weeks. Yeah. Pardon me. So, I mean, I was sort of giddy about Billy traveling around the country and, you know, just jumping on the nearest train and that sort of thing. It's, I think a lot of people could use that as an example to get out and enjoy a lot. Not possibly now we're in COVID lockdown, but do you know what I mean? Just generally.
Exactly. I wanted it to be that way and for people to read it and relate to it, like whether you're an artist or not, or if you have disabilities or not. Like, I want it to be kind of just a general experience of being like, okay, shit, I've been given this massive obstacle, but I'm going to do my best to find my way around it and, you know, live my life to the full and all that.
Yeah, and it's emotionally and spiritually enriching, isn't it, because of the experiences you have. And I think people sit in their bedrooms. I think a lot of people who create stuff are now prone just to sitting in their bedrooms and doing it, aren't they? And getting out there and taking a bite out of life, sometimes you can learn a lot.
Definitely.
Yeah. So with that in mind, you know, this is a ridiculously accomplished book to do as your first graphic novel and, you know, at your age, because the bloody note at the back, sitting here writing this at 21 feels surreal. 21 and you've got 100 plus graphic novel.
I thought that was quite impressive myself, but then people are like, well, didn't Tilly Walden do her first one at 18? And I'm like,
not a competition.
Yeah. Right. It is to me.
Yeah. No, but I'll tell you what goes a long way in our eyes with this, what you put at the back. You said, my cat just sneezed twice, if you wonder what
I wonder what it was.
If you hear a meow, it's because he wants to be involved in the show. But you say, like, you've wanted to... It's been your dream to make comics since you were 12. And this is a comic. You call this book a comic. Now, normally, people just sort of say graphic novels or, you know, I make graphic novels.
That's a fancy word, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, we had Durf on last week, didn't we? So we had back Durf in. I'm not sure if you heard it, Zoe, but he's a very sort of important graphic novelist, as some people call him. And he just calls them big-ass comic books. which I kind of like.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think I say graphic novels if I'm talking to people that are like
The Guardian. Yeah.
Yeah, non-comics readers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like my grandparents. I'm like, yes, graphic novels.
Listen, I used to have a huge problem with people, you know, saying they're not ever going about graphic novels, and now all I think of is, does it sell them? That's all I'm bothered about now. I want them to sell, and if calling them graphic novels gets them sold to people, then I'm right behind it, you know.
Yeah. 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 It is about just getting the work into, like, just new hands and new faces, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, for your first book, like I say, to attempt a graphic novel straight away, you had, I mean, we talked a bit about Angel, obviously, as we said before. So you had done a few sort of mini comics, I'm guessing. You know,
Angel was very different, though, V, I'm saying. Angel, stylistically, was very different, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Angel was the first and only finished comic I did before Billy.
Mm.
But I mean, I've been making comics since I was a kid.
Yeah.
But like it's always like I do 2-3 pages, maybe write a chapter long script, and then I just give up. So I don't know. I've had
tell
a lot
me about
of
it being there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that in Marvel face. Comics. Yeah. To be fair. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I only have 2 finished works, but I've been, you know, on and off trying to make them for years. But
Is Angel is it still available on your, like, Gumroad and stuff?
Oh, Gumroad.
We'll
put a link in the show notes because we mentioned it a while back. But seriously, folks, you need to check this out as well.
Is this an opportune moment for me to do my guessing at influences?
Yeah, go on then.
Okay, good. First one. Are you ready, Zoe?
Oh, I'm ready. I'm scared, but yeah, go on.
Philip Bond.
See, I've had this before, but no.
Right. Okay, interesting. And my other one I was going to go for was Jim Marfood.
I have no idea who that is. Oh, my God.
Wait, that's a shame, because I know that I think after I read it this morning, we were texting backwards and forwards, and I said this is the sort of book that would have kept Black Crown afloat if they'd have published it. And obviously, Philip Bond is is one of the co-owners of, you know, with his wife, with Shelley, who's been on the show, was of Black Crown. And I thought this is the sort of book that would have fitted right into their catalogue, you know?
Mm. Yeah, no, I can see that. I think the funny thing
is, Shelley's retweeted it, I think. She
gave us a quote for the back cover.
Back cover. Yeah, of course. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, when I've had this on other podcasts as well, where people have like, oh, are you influenced by this person or this person? And the answer is always no, because, and it's kind of bizarre, the style I used for Billy, I have never drawn like that before. Like, that's the first time I have drawn this way. Like, it's like with drawing Angel. Yeah, Angel looks completely different to Billy. Yeah. Like, that's how I've drawn, you know, forever. With Billy, I don't know what exactly happened, but I just wanted to draw slightly differently. I doodled this little character who ended up being Billy. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to turn this into a comic. Why not? And it's like the style I used then, like, I had no idea what I was doing. It took me until, like, I'd done at least 100 pages before I, like, had any grip of what I was actually doing.
Oh, wow.
Right.
But yeah, it all, and I think that's why there's a lot of variation, like a lot of the style changes a lot, like especially in the faces, because it's me working out like how it works.
Right.
So yeah,
I didn't notice. Like, it wasn't noticeable.
No.
Yeah, it is horribly noticeable for me. Like the first pages, because I didn't draw in order. I just drew whichever page I wanted to draw because I am chaotic. So I was like, yeah, this page looks fun. But then my last month, I had like all of the worst pages to draw, and it was hell. But anyway,
so you had a big you had a talk to draw. I noticed at one point, didn't you? You had an auditorium full of people to draw in one of the scenes.
Oh, that was horrible! It's so bad as well. There are some like crowd scenes and stuff where you could just tell I was like, no.
Did you have a heavy deadline then? Did Ricky give you a heavy deadline or?
No, but I was a bit stupid, and I'm very much like, if people offer me work that seems fun, even if I don't really have the time for it, I'll be like, yes, I can do that. Sleep, I don't need that.
Yeah.
And so I was working on Billy at the same time I was drawing Poppy's Inferno. And I was also doing concept art for games and stuff at the same time. So I was working 3 jobs. And so my deadline got pushed back twice, actually, and Avery Hill were fantastic about it. I'm really grateful for everything. And also COVID did kind of help me, because that Ricky emailed me like, oh yeah, Zoe, we have to push it back. And I was like, oh, that's terrible.
Shame.
What a shame.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was totally my fault that the deadlines were so rough. But it's like the coloring and lettering was all done in 2 weeks. It was ridiculous.
Wow. Oh, wow.
It was bad. I was getting up at like 6, having to draw one Poppy page and then do one Billy page and then color like five pages a day. It was ridiculous. It was stupid. And I did that for like 3 months.
Bloody hell. But I mean, what did you learn? I mean, such an intensive process for like all these different projects. Obviously a learning process. What was your biggest learnings from that experience? Apart from never do this again.
Yeah. I learned how to cut corners and how important it is to cut corners with comics. I think looking back at my art from 2 or 3 years ago when I was trying to break into comics, it's so much more detailed. Like I was looking at some pages for a project the other day that I'm hoping to revive. And there's just so much work into each page. And like looking at that now, I'm like, why? Like, I remember I met the first con I went to, I met Alison Sampson, and she looked at my pages and she said, you only need to do 50% of what you're doing.
Like, she's one to talk.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Alison's art is very detailed, but it's also a lot faster than mine was because I was very into like doing very clean lines, being very precise with everything. So there was no margin for scribbles or anything.
I reckon she's cutting down on the competition there. She's seen you coming up and said, yeah, don't bother with faces. Don't do feet. Yeah.
A lot of artists do go that way, don't they? They kind of like streamline down what they're doing.
Yeah.
And rather than like spend 20 hours.
It's the Toth effect, isn't it? You know, you take out whatever isn't needed is some people's way of doing it. Yeah.
It's important to find the balance.
Okay.
I think the fun thing with Billy was that, and it's why I'm trying to, project I'm working on, I'm not allowed to talk about because everything is under NDA, but I'm trying to find this balance between, like,
you're doing Judge Dredd.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Sorry.
Good stuff. I'd read that. I'd read that, Zoe. I'm bored.
Because I drew Billy so fast. Like, the art style for that was so ridiculously fast. But I kind of miss doing the clean and precise lines. So I'm trying to find this good middle ground of clean and also messy and fast, which has been quite fun.
So you're very much experimenting with like creating comics.
Yeah. Oh, constantly. I hate getting stuck in one thing or doing the same thing again and again. So I think every project I do, I know is going to look completely different, be completely different. Like I don't want to do 2 books really in the same genre. Like I'm very into like, I want to kind of stick my grubby little hands in everything. That's the goal, at least.
as a sort of artist writer, so you know, you could, if you didn't have a publisher, you could do literally everything, couldn't you? How do you measure your success on a page or within a series of pages? Do you have people you go to, or was it an editorial? You say, oh look, Ricky, what do you think of these? Does this work all right? And how do you measure your success?
I don't.
Okay.
I just draw it and I'm like, here you go. And Ricky goes, all right.
Spelling mistakes, but other than that, he's all right. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a perfectionist. I think there's people think that I am.
Right.
But with art, like I'm very much like, I don't really care about mistakes. Like as long as you can tell what something is supposed to be and it conveys stuff, I don't care. It's like with them, I remember I handed in Billy and Ricky was like, oh, could you fix all these hands, they look weird, and I was like, yeah okay. I didn't like, it just, to me, it's like, if you could tell what they're doing, like, oh man, who cares? I don't know, like for I guess I got away with that because Billy, like, the art style isn't very realistic and it's definitely you know, it's very grubby and very people have been using really fancy words to describe it, but I can't remember what they are. But it's very, I guess it's very like punky art style. Yeah. It's kind of nonsense. Whereas like if I wanted to do something more realistic, I probably, you know, I would be putting more focus on the hands and things and making things look right. But for Billy, it was like, who cares if her arms are 2 meters long?
But that gives it an energy though, doesn't it? Like when you completely loosen up and you let go. I mean, sometimes when people are so detailed and so specific about things, obviously if you're doing probably a factual based, you know, you just say you're doing
a battleship.
If you're doing a battleship, you need to, and someone is going to a certain audience who are going to read it, and you don't want people going, well, I think you'll find the SS don't give a fuck didn't look like that. but with other sort of stories, especially this, because it's a personal character type story, you've got that freedom to just play and
create. Oh, I'm a great believer, man. Totally. Is that anything that's too clinical draws away from the emotion that you're getting off the page?
Yeah.
I think it can't be. I think it's not technical drawing, put it that way, I suppose. You know, it's not like you don't remember technical drawing because you're very young, but we used to have to do it at school and it was all very sort of precise. And you don't want that. You want an energy, don't you? You want that. And there's a lot of motion and there's a lot of movement and stuff in your. There's a lot of legging it off and stuff like that in there. So, you know, you need that in there.
And that was so fun having that freedom because I didn't pencil it. I did these ridiculously vague layouts that I, because Ricky wanted to see layouts and I was like, oh, I don't tend to do that. So you're going to have fun looking through these. And they were literally just these awful stick men. I think I tried with the first three pages to make them legible, but then after that, it was just.
So
this is one line on a page.
That's ruining the energy on the page. Yeah. Do you think the energy comes from just getting on with it and doing it?
Yeah, pure chaos of me going, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to do it anyway. And also, I'm high on coffee. that is definitely the style of the project.
And not those balloon things. You don't do those balloon things, do you?
Yeah.
so are you saying? You pretty much almost went straight to inks in a...
Almost. Very almost. Not as much. Like, this is the thing. It's like, I feel like everything I do that's vaguely impressive, Tilly one-ups. Like, she...
No, we're not going to have that.
We can't have that mentioned again. I'd like to point out that the first interview Tilly ever did was with us. So, you having done four podcasts, I find it quite upsetting. So, personally. but no. Yeah, I think there's no... It's... peas and carrots, it's different things. They're both good.
No, I'm just kidding. It's this is kind of ongoing joke I have with my friends. But
you want, we know people. Do you know what I mean?
We can cultivate a war if you want. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
No. But it was almost straight to inks.
Right.
Wow.
There was always stick men. I drew a circle where people's heads were and then maybe a horizon line, and I think that was pretty much it in the later pages.
Yeah.
One day that'll be worth millions.
Yeah. Because it's all original artwork as well, isn't it?
It is. That I have above my bed, not knowing what to do with.
Oh, there are pages in here people are going to want. Right. Yeah. There is also a set of... I mean, do you have original artworks of the paintings? Without giving too much away.
Yes, I do. They're painted digitally, but I have the line art I have for original.
I mean,
I think probably we're probably your favourite podcast. I'm going to say that, Zoe. Is that right? Is that...
I would say so.
Yeah, good. Well, I think your favourite podcast should be sent a page each. That's all I'm saying. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the pages are penciled and then you've coloured them digitally. Is that right?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. So how did you do that? Is it... like PC Wacom or
it was all colored on an iPad. Man, iPads are so good for drawing. It's incredible. It really is.
Me and Dan are converted to that. Yeah, we're very much iPaders.
It's very good.
So did you manage to go out and draw then? Do you go to coffee shops and draw, or are you just stuck indoors like your character?
Well, I would have if not for COVID.
Oh, God, yeah, of course. Yeah,
I live in the middle of nowhere at the moment, so it's like to go to the nearest coffee shop, I have to go half an hour on the train, and it's like, so I haven't been to a coffee shop since March, and it's horrible. It used to be like my one kind of thing, because I work pretty much all the time, and going to a coffee shop was like my one thing that I would do to get out of the house and stuff. But,
I mean, it just means that comics people have missed out on like independent comic store signings and stuff that you all like Thought Bubble etc that you would have been at, because I can tell this book would have, you know, it's a big hit already, but you know, people
I'd love to have come to a launch for this, you know, a London comic shop or something like that. I think it would have gone down well.
That's what I was hoping to do, but alas.
That'll happen in the future for the next book.
Comics release next one.
But obviously, like, back to your process and your artwork, you've got, I mean, you've done a few detail pages, and there's a lot of background streets, shops, bins, or you know, the reference of things like a plastic penis on someone's forehead.
I know that girl, actually.
Did you have like a stack of reference of like places and coffee shops and all kinds of things like that as well?
I did. Yes, a lot of the first part of the book is all based in Middlesbrough, which is where I was based at the time of drawing. Mm. And I find Middlesbrough a fascinating place. It's a place. It's an interesting place. There's not many more positive words I can use.
Yeah, I've been there before. Yeah, it's a bit dangerous after dark.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not even after dark. it's just it's a place to be. But I find it fascinating, and I decided that it just made sense to base it there because that's what I was seeing every day, and I really like kind of the, without sounding offensive to any to Middlesbrough, it's the kind of grimy, gritty kind of. It's very British and very like
Yeah.
It's a great place.
Yeah.
A lot of the places, some of the places in London were taken from Google Maps. Some of them were merged, like weird combinations of like the bar in Billy, the street outside of it is in Middlesbrough. The outside of the bar is in London, and the inside of the bar is a pub down the road from me at the moment. So okay. there's a lot of things, like a lot of things are taken from real life, but they are kind of merged together in ways that I found helpful.
But merged in the right kind of way, I think, because
I don't think it looks out of place.
We've discussed normally before we start recording about like certain people who have referenced certain places, and you just think that clearly.
Literally about an hour ago we had one of these just before you came on, so not about you I might add, but about another comic, and we're like oh god, really? But no, this works perfectly for me.
Because it you completely get the feel and the vibe of the place as well, and you know, and I mean, I've only been to London a few times, so it all seems like that to me. I mean the Funland looks quite cool for a
that was one of the only places that doesn't exist. That was the only place that was completely
That's a shame.
Taken from my head. Yeah, sorry about that.
That's a shame.
I'll take you to Funland.
Tony,
there's nothing for you.
Not Zoe, I mean Vince. I wasn't being suggestive. I was just saying Vince, I'll take you to Funland.
No, I know, and that's why my reaction was like, Tony, I don't want to go with you.
You do.
But there's lots of different artistic styles on here, whether it be the colour palettes. I do really like Billy's journey as she meets different people from all walks of life, and through most of it, it's positive. Do you know what I mean? Just seeing that, and people from all different backgrounds as well. That was what I liked about it. A character, the bride, as Zoe calls it, a character that in probably a lot of other books would have been a stereotypical photocopied, you know, cliched Essex girl, shall we say, you know, that kind of stereotype, turns out to be like, it was one of my favourite characters in the book, and like just a really nice person.
Yeah, it turns out to be like the nicest person. Yeah.
And I love the playing with stereotypes that you do in this book. Are there any characters that were in some ways not necessarily like jot for jot, but were they influenced by people you've met, people you know?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I think how my parents put it is that I always find myself surrounded by misfits and outcasts. So throughout my life, like since I was a kid, I've always been the person who has gravitated towards the weirdos and I guess the people on the fringe of society. And I really enjoy... like a lot of my friends like are completely different people. Like I have friends that would not get on with each other at all because they're just complete opposites, and I enjoyed that. And so throughout my life I've met just so many odd and interesting and fantastic people, just from looking in places that you wouldn't think to find friends, I guess.
And well, that's comics as well. Now that you're in the scene, that's not going to end.
We're all weirdos.
And I enjoy that. I enjoy that a lot. And I think how it's been said before is I have a lot of patience for people. I like
that's
weirdos.
A superpower in itself.
We've experienced that already, to be fair.
Without going into spoilers, like she has some not setbacks, but some wrongs done to her throughout the book.
Yes, she does.
And she doesn't ever seem to kind of have like a bad bone in her body to kind of like get any kind of retribution or hold ill will against them.
Yeah, well, I think she's got too much to think about. And I think...
just keeps sucking up.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I don't think Billy is this particularly kind or angelic person, but I think she's definitely very focused on herself and her own journey all the time. And it's like when she's wronged, it's kind of like, yeah, damn it. Like, I don't know.
Just pick yourself up and carry on.
Yeah.
I can understand.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something you asked. You asked on the WhatsApp, Dan, didn't you, about how much of her is you, Zoe?
Yeah, yeah. I had the slot. And I think it's... Yeah, there's definitely a fair amount of me there, though I would say I think it's mostly a younger version of me. Like when I started uni, I was horribly anxious. Like the whole reference of Billy not coming out of her room and like the people that she's living with don't even know she lived there was pretty much a reference to my real life experience, because I would just hide away in my room, had no idea really of the outside world. And so I think like a lot of Billy is pulled from myself, but from a, you know, from a younger age when I was very stuck inside my own shell.
Yeah, and I guess you can't, I mean, there's always that sort of, we put a bit of ourselves in all our, you know, in all our main characters or things like that, but you know, your next book isn't going to be about Billy Scott, so it's not like
it's about another part of my personality.
It's
another,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a serial killer book.
Yeah. right on.
What genres would you like to play in, by the way? Because, you know, obviously sci-fi, horror, what appeals to you?
Well, all the books that I enjoy and all the kind of, you know, games, I'm really into games. Like, everything I enjoy, there seems to be nothing linking them. Like, I'm very into any genre, if it's done well.
Yeah.
I'd love to, at the moment, I've been working on a really short... supposedly comedy comic, not sure if I should call it that, if it's actually funny, but I've been working on a short comedy. At the moment I'm pitching a sci-fi book, and I'm also pitching a horror book, so there's really, you know, there's, I mean, absolutely no continuity. I just want to do everything.
With your eye to the freaky as fuck, I certainly can see, you know, and a horror, you know, that will feel very Junji Ito sort of, you know, real messed up horror stuff. Because as well as we're talking about this slice of life in some kind of way, this kind of book is, with larger than life characters. But obviously with Billy's anxieties and, like, you know, her worries and stuff, she has some dreams that are pretty weird.
They sure are.
Yeah. Were they fun to draw?
They are very fun. I only put the... Oh, man. They weren't in the original draft, but then I was getting really bored of drawing that damn alleyway in the book. I had to draw that so many times, and I was getting so annoyed at it that I messaged my editor, and I was like, Ricky, I'm doing some nightmare sequences. I'm so bored. and so I, you know, I just thought, wait, wouldn't it be fun to draw a giant removed eyeball? And then so I drew it, and I was like, hell, that looks good.
Yeah, I found that one interesting, because suddenly you really go there with the... what's going to happen to her, don't you? I mean, there's a huge reason for it being about an eyeball, obviously, isn't there?
Yeah. Eyeballs are terrifying and also fun to draw, so...
Yeah, there's a few good superhero villains who are just a big eyeball, on, on a neck.
Yeah.
The other thing, I've got a theory as well, and if you'll indulge me just for a second, Zoe, is you've worked very hard on this book. You know, it's a long book. There's a lot of art gone into it. And you, at the end, you give yourself a little gift, because you have your exhibition at, spoilers everyone, turn off, fast forward 30 seconds, at Tate Britain. Little gift to yourself.
Yeah, right. I deserve this.
Yeah, I thought she deserves that now. Look at all that work she's done.
I've never thought of it like that. That is quite egotistical, isn't it?
not at all. But it's a good, I suppose, if you Google I don't know, art galleries, it's the first one that comes up, isn't it? Let's face it. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to use a real one, but you know, maybe in the hope that they'll call me up one day and be like, oh, thanks for the mention.
But also it's a very, I mean, it's a recognizable building, but it's also, it's an impressive building. And when you want a splash page for a book, you know, a lot of art galleries sometimes are just tucked away, generic buildings.
Like an old shoebox somewhere in Hoxton, don't they, these days?
Yeah. It's got, and it feels more like an achievement, you know, and also there's a lot of people who probably don't know what that gallery looks like, so you're right.
Yeah. Well, I thought it would be all right because I am using real places. I was like, yeah, it exists in the real world. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Great cafe if anyone ever goes there. Best cafe ever. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Overpriced, though.
It is. Yeah. I used to work almost next door and I used to walk past it every day. And occasionally I used to take the office manager out, cheer her up, take her to that cafe. It's nice.
Oh, yeah. Did you, what did you get? Like a veggie sausage roll or something?
Occasionally. Yeah. A bit of soup or something. Yeah.
Oh, blimey. Yeah.
Awesome. Always treat the office manager well.
What, with soup?
He wasn't young.
You saying that was the only thing she could eat? Oh dear. Anyway, right. Chewy. I mean, coffee shops are a topic unto themselves.
Yeah.
And I think they've inspired every comic creator out there in the world, wherever you are. But the actual paintings that Billy Scott does, were they the last thing you did?
They were. They were the very last thing I did. Again, that was something that wasn't in the original draft either. That was an idea that Ricky had that really stuck. But yeah, I really enjoyed drawing those because they were, after I'd done all the pages, which were getting a little bit of a drag towards the end. It was nice to kind of feel like I was rewarding myself with some more like illustrative stuff because I do really enjoy doing that kind of thing.
Mm. Yeah.
So yeah, that was dead last.
And for those that haven't experienced it, they're actually part of the narrative. So they're not pin-ups in the back, which is obviously quite common for small press and indie publishers, but they're actually part of the story, aren't they?
Yeah. You know?
Yeah,
that's the excuse I'm giving myself as well.
Well, no, me too.
Well, when I first got the printed copy of the book, and I just sort of flicked through it, and it's towards the end of the book that you see them, and I thought, oh, cool, there's some lovely I did think they were sort of pinups, you know. Oh, I wonder, you know, these are obviously main characters, but then seeing how it played into the actual telling of the story, it becomes something else. Then it's not just a lovely picture; it's actually part of the narrative, which I think is nice. I'd like to see some more stories do that kind of thing as well.
Yeah.
Do you also have a pair of giant heart sunglasses?
I do. I have three, actually. They're all different colours.
Do you think you do, Tony?
Yeah, yeah, I wear them quite a lot. Oh, and I've got stars. They're in the shape of stars. Yeah.
Are you out on John?
Yeah.
All this time, have you been out on John?
God, I hate Elton John. He's such a knob, isn't he?
What? You can't say that. What
you got against Elton John?
Oh, have you seen Handbags and Tiaras? Watch that. Just watch it on YouTube. You'll agree with me.
It's honestly hard to forgive him for that Kingsman sequel.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay, yeah.
Although Tiny Dancer, you know, it's a great song, isn't it? He's all right. Yeah. Yeah. The other question I wanted to ask you about, Zoe, is... Zoe? Is Thorogood? Is about the as a callback to something that the listeners didn't know about the joke we had, but the you talk a bit. There's a one point, and I don't want to spoil it. There's at one point where you basically draw for something. You have to draw to recover something, don't you? I want to spoil it because it's in the last third, isn't it?
Oh right, yeah. I was like, wait, what? I get what you're talking about.
yeah. Okay, I'll be a bit cryptic. But do you think there's a question being asked there about what our art is worth? So she draws. The character draws a picture to get something very worthwhile to her back again, or a group of things.
Yeah.
Do you often think about that? What our art is worth when you're putting this book out as well? Do you ever think about the value of it?
My brain immediately wants to make the self-deprecating like it's worthless, but
okay, yeah.
I don't know. I get really nervous about these questions because I feel like I answer them in a really annoying way. But
we ask them in a really annoying way.
Yeah, yeah. Don't worry. Well, you've already experienced how annoying I am, so that's fine. Yeah.
No, but I mean, what I feel is let me try and start again. What I'm really really enjoying is people messaging me and saying, you know, after reading this, I felt inspired. And I got a really nice message from somebody saying that, well, actually got two. I got one from somebody saying that they had really given up with comics and reading the book had made them think, right, okay, no, I actually got to get off my arse and try again. So that was so nice. Good. Like that felt so good. And that was the kind of like, you know, what I'm not expecting to make much money from it at all.
Join the club.
Comics. Welcome to comics. But that was just, man, like, that was great. And then the other one was, I got a review. Somebody, it was like a journalist who'd kind of given up with journalism and hadn't wrote a review in like a year or something, suddenly decided that they, after reading the book, they wanted to
inspire them to
try
write
again.
Something. Yeah.
And like, cool. that was so nice.
Because I think there's a parallel to be made between the story, the narrative in your book is about getting out there and doing stuff. And, you know, if you're an artist, get out there and put it out in front of people, you know, which is what you're doing. There's a bravery. It's not in the, you know, we're not fighting wars or, you know, anything like that, but there is a certain bravery about putting yourself out there through your art, isn't there?
Oh yeah, for sure. Because as soon as, like, it's like, I do get kind of this fear of, I know that one day I'm gonna like see a review or see a comment that's negative, and like, that's like, okay.
But you have to face it. I mean, I'm sure you'll agree with me. Your book is good, but it's not perfect. There's very few perfect books out there. There's always something that someone can jump on, isn't there? You know, we've got to have thicker skin, I think. Yeah.
Well, exactly. But it's like putting your art up, you know, out into the world. You're opening yourself up for criticism.
Yeah, definitely. You're opening yourself up to many things. People. Sorry to interrupt you, but people might think they know you or think that you're something that you're not. You know, there's a lot of chances you're taking by putting something out. It's quite an emotional experience in a comic book, and does in some way almost parallel some experiences you've had. You know.
And I think the thing is with the internet and being anonymous. It's...
Sorry, mate. Sorry.
Sorry. What did you say?
What did you say, mate?
That with the internet and being anonymous and stuff, and it's so easy to, you know, make comments and assume that you know people or assume that the person isn't a real person and all the rest of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think because this book feels very personal, and, you know, like, you're going to constantly get the question that certainly we asked as well, you know, how much of this is based on you? There's also the readers who are going to think that you are literally Billy Scott, so they're going to talk to you like they know you because of what they've just read.
Yeah,
I'm personally drawn to art that people put themselves out there, and it can be done in all different ways. It doesn't need to be autobiographical. There's all different ways of doing it, but art has to take a chance sometimes, you know, to be interesting. I think.
And sometimes you just need to draw a plastic penis on someone's forehead.
Right, yeah, exactly. That works for me. To be a balance.
Yeah, there was a perfect balance on her forehead, actually, and it stayed there. I was very impressed. All the way through.
Who was your favourite character to draw in the book? Take out the main character.
Yeah, leave the main character.
Leave the main character. I've got a theory.
That's a difficult one. I mean, I enjoyed drawing Rachel for her outfit. Like, I was quite happy with her design. The dogs.
Yeah, I like the dogs. See, I'm a big dog fan. Yeah, I've got a dog. I like the dogs. Yeah.
They were the best because they just didn't look like dogs and they were hideous.
attack dogs.
Yes. Feral creatures.
Oh dear. So, you know, when it comes to creating your first graphic novel, then, because, I mean, we've heard this many, many times, people, you've done something that a lot of people haven't done, you know, and you're going to go on and make lots more comics, you know, whether it be individual issues, graphic novels, etc. But you've already done the thing that probably 80% of people who say they're going to make comics don't do. I'm going to make a graphic novel. Yeah, well, where is it? And you've actually gone out. And you've just fucking put the work out there, and you put the work in to do it. At the same time as doing two other jobs, so you're obviously a lunatic.
I am. I'm mad.
Yeah, which means that she was a perfect guest for this show. But what would, for those people that say, I've got a great idea for a graphic novel, how do I start it? What would you advise these people? You know, in all seriousness, this is what you should think about before even starting anything.
I would say the most important thing is accept that it's not going to be perfect and just start it. I think a lot of the fear, I mean, especially fear that I had when I was younger and wanting to do comics, was I never wanted to start it. Like, there was so much planning. I was like, oh, well, I can plan this and I could rewrite this bit or I could redesign these characters. And it just meant I never got anything done. And I think when I started Billy and I knew I had a deadline and I knew I had to, you know, just power through it, even though there were bits that I hated, and there was parts of the plot where I wanted to completely rewrite bits. Like, there are bits in Billy that I'm not happy with, but, you know, just need to stop.
There will always be, especially if you're doing a big piece of work like this.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
There's always going to be, you know, the moments that you're going to be like, well, I could have done that better, but that's for the next book. I mean, you know.
I think another thing I noticed with your book is the consistency of the characters and of their appearance, you know, especially the main characters. And I think this is the second week we've had it where the creator has said that they don't just do page one, page two, page three. They jump about. And I think that's a good idea. And it's a tip we took from Durf last week is if you do that, it keeps the consistency of the characters sometimes, because you drift a little bit, don't you, in your style and all sorts of things. In the year or so, it must have taken you to draw this, Zoe.
It was 6 months, I think.
Right, that's good. Yeah. But even in that 6 months, we're learning and changing, aren't we, a little bit sometimes? Yeah.
Because, you know, you kind of, it sounds cheap to say it, but you get better the more you do, aren't you?
And that was the thing, like, especially as the style was new, I was, you know, learning every page I was drawing.
Yeah. So that's why we had no idea that you did it in that sort of way. You know, no one would know that you did it in this sort of, and it seems so consistent throughout the book. Whereas you probably look at it and go, I could have done that better. But no one else will know. That's the beauty of comics. It's only when people listen to shows like this and
they're going to look back at it and be like, man, Zoe's right, it is shit.
it's a small point, but like the detailing you put on clothing with the little buttons and folds and seams and zips, I love that shit. I love it. I love seeing it in artwork. It's great. And every little bit has got, like, yeah, it's great.
The clothes look lived in, don't they?
Real and lived in.
Well, I really enjoy drawing clothes. Not even from, like, I mean, I enjoy fashion, but not. I don't enjoy drawing clothes because of that. I think the thing with clothes that's interesting to me is that you can tell so much about a character by what they're wearing and, you know, what clothes they choose or, you know, what brands they wear or whatever. And I find that so interesting. And,
Have you had have you done much in the ways of fashion illustration? Have you, looked into or researched or done any sort of stuff?
No, I would love to. But I mean, I got my start in concept art, doing character design. So I've always been designing clothes, just not for real people, for fictional people. It's something I really enjoy. I think there's so much story that can be told through clothing. And I think often in comics, it does get overlooked.
Yeah. But also, if you make something really complicated for yourself, careful, because you're going to have to draw it over and over and over again.
But that's the fun part. Yeah. I enjoy that part.
Well, you enjoy it, so it's great then.
Yeah, I know.
All artists are masochists. We appreciate that. Yeah.
We wouldn't do this job if we didn't hate ourselves.
Yeah. Don't just mean this podcast. So no, that's not what you mean.
Oh dear. So obviously the final book is out there, and I mean, you did it over six. I mean, looking at this book in your hand, I can't believe that it was 6 months just drawing it.
Yeah, I'm absolutely flabbergasted, mate. Yeah. I've got to tell you.
Yeah.
That's how really I would have put 2 years. I was being kind when I said a year. I'd have put 2 years as a mark on the work that's gone into this from anyone else. Yeah.
I mean, I was working until like 7 a.m. till 10 p.m.
Right.
But that's because you wanted to get it done. I mean, this cannot be undersold. And like, you know, there's a difference between saying you're going to make a comic book and actually making the comic book. But then to do that on top of everything else and just decide to put out a book this size and put the graft in and do it all the way up until the finish line, you know, not enough people are probably shouting about this, but fair play to you, because you know, in the time that we've been doing this show, we've seen issue ones that never get an issue two.
I mean, I think the thing is that this book really mattered to me, and I think you probably can tell by reading it genuinely mattered a lot to me, and you know, there is a lot of love in it. And I think at the point where I decided I was going to make it, it was my last attempt at comics. Like, I had pitched many comics before Billy. I pitched Billy to 5 places, and eventually Avery Hill took it. Everywhere else rejected it. But, you know, it was kind of the general story of, you know, rejection letter after rejection letter. And this was my last, you know, my last real attempt at it. Else I was going to be like, right, I'm just going to go to concept art full time. Because I was leaving uni, I started Billy my last year of uni, and I was like, if this doesn't pick up, I need to just stop.
Yeah. That's so interesting, though, because we've talked about the pitching to publishers and stuff. In fact, some of our most popular episodes are when we talk about pitching to publishers, because obviously a lot of people want to do it.
Yeah. In fact, one of our biggest episodes ever was when Dave came on from Avery Hill and talked about being a publisher. Yeah.
What was that process like? Because obviously, with this, obviously, Avery Hill eventually took it. But like you say, you got to the point where you almost left comics behind before it dragged you back in.
Yeah.
But have you learned more about the pitching process because of this book? How did you pitch it?
Not very well, I don't think.
I got book. What? You want print?
Yeah, that was pretty much it. I think, I don't know, because my pitch document, I don't think was particularly good. Four of the publishers that I sent it to basically sent it back like, it's fine. The story's not very interesting. I think I really struggled with the title, which is why I think Avery Hill picked it up, and the cover, I think worked really well.
Was that one that you had designed that cover and you had the title and you were sort of saying, this is my book that I'm going to work on?
It was, I thought, like, and I showed it, I remember I put it on Twitter, or whatever, and it got quite a lot of traction and people seemed interested in it. And I was like, oh, okay, this seems to be something. Because I did the cover really before I had much of the story or anything. It was just kind of like, oh, that sounds like an interesting concept. And then it just kind of
took off from there. So was it literally like you had a page document saying what the book was, you had a cover, and did you do some sketches or a couple of pages just to show, give an idea?
I think I had two inside pages, a cover, and then a document of like the story and stuff. And then I sent it to Avery Hill was basically like, all right, this is good, but we need more pages. So then I had to draw a bunch more for them. Just when they decided to pick it up. But it makes a lot of sense. Like, they need sequential art check that you can.
A lot of places ask for 10 to 20 pages, don't they? I think.
Which is so much work.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, it really is.
Doing for free. It's a massive commitment.
Yeah. It's an issue. It is an issue. You're essentially sending
both ways.
And I think I think I'm lucky because I'm a writer artist. I have a lot of friends that are around my age that are just writers. And obviously, we're in our early 20s. We don't have money to spend on artists to be drawing our stuff. So I think it's a lot harder for writers that are trying to break in, because every time they want to do a pitch, they have to like drop a grand. And it's like, who has that? Like, just to drop on art that might not go anywhere. It's an interesting system.
Yeah. When you've got to look at the real life numbers of it.
Have you been approached by any writers, Zoe, to do stuff for them now?
Quite a lot. I'm working.
Secret projects you can't talk about.
I know, it's so boring, isn't it? But I'm working with a writer on a short one issue thing at the moment, which is fun. Like I'm trying to establish myself as a writer artist. I don't want to get stuck in just doing art for other people, because like I enjoy telling stories. It's like as a kid I wanted to be an author. Like, it's always been something I've wanted to do. And
there's nothing worse than other people's lives, is there? Do you know what I mean? And hearing about them. And I think stories like that. Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's just when I'm drawing from my own script, if I don't want to draw something, I just change it. That's just so good. It's like at the moment I'm working with this writer, and there are sometimes panels where I'm like, if I wrote this. because like some writers are just evil, like they don't think about the artist having to draw that crowd scene or the horses or like.
Do you hear that, Tony? Some writers are evil.
Most writers are evil.
So this writer you're working with at the moment, the evil one. Tell us later. Tell us later.
Sometimes I'm like, did I need to draw all of these backgrounds?
But though sometimes an artist who like writes their own stuff is the most evil of all. Because there's the part of your artistic brain that kind of wants to test yourself a little bit. And then you just think, why have I decided to put horses in this? I didn't realise drawing a cow would be so hard. That's my actual life experience. There you go.
He lives in the country.
Yeah. But cows do exist. No, they don't live in the sea, do they?
Yeah, I got next door neighbour. My next door neighbour's a cow.
So what's the plan for the future then? Apart from these, you know, the secret projects, in terms of your own work, would you like to, I mean, to put out a book like this every 1 to 2 years if you can?
Yeah, ideally that's the plan. I was getting a little bit worried that I might be a one-hit wonder and will never create anything worthwhile again. but I'm working on pitches at the moment. I'm having talks with publishers about them because I would love to. This is the dream. I love comics. I love making comics. Hopefully I will do this for the rest of my life. But, you know, if not, I'll settle on being an artist. Sure, why not?
Just settle on being an artist.
And fine,
do a whole graphic novel in 6 months. Yeah, well, if I have to.
Yeah. Be the J.D. Salinger of comics and just disappear off now.
Yeah.
Show everyone what you can do. Come back.
I mean, I'm guessing, like you say, you're pitching to other publishers for other work. I'm guessing your pitches have gone up a gear as well since Billy Scott?
Probably not. I think still
we get them to tell the truth on this show.
Yeah, pitch in the form of mime on a video, I find, is a good one.
I think with my pitches, is like, I don't know, I'm not a writery writer. Do you know what I mean? It's like, Kieran Gillen is like a writery writer. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's like very writery. Mm. Whereas like with me, like I love telling stories and I think that I am good at writing, but not in that way. Like
Not going to say this book is about the audacity of the human experience.
Right, exactly. Like my vocabulary is like maximum 12 words. Like, I enjoy telling stories. I enjoy writing characters. I think it's why comics is the perfect medium for me, because there is no, like, you know, long sentences where you have to sound smart. It's just, if you, you know, my characters, they're stupid. They don't know many words. Like, that's my excuse. I'm really good at selling myself.
Yeah. Why didn't I think of that before? I'm not going to write Evil Geniuses anymore.
Just have a book of dumb characters. That's all you know. That's it.
Yeah. There you go. If you've learned nothing from this episode,
there you go. Write as if they're on Love Island, and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But I find I guess the bride was kind of a Love Island-esque character, and I find I just find characters like that so fascinating. I get really fed up with like super smart characters that don't talk to real people. I really enjoy the like writing the dialogue in Billy, because I was really trying to make them, I mean, they were like larger than life characters, but I was trying to make them sound like natural, like people that you would meet. I really enjoy that. So yeah, there's not going to be any smart evil villain monologues in any of my books. I don't imagine.
Well, come back in 5 years when we're talking to her about her smart evil villain.
Yeah, a new book written only in iambic pentameter.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that's the sort of big words that Dan uses every week. Well done. Yeah.
Thank you.
So, Thought Bubble obviously is just around the corner, and you're going to be at the digital convention as well, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
I have very little idea how it's going to work, but I will be there.
You got your own table, or are you on the Avery Hill table, or?
Yeah, I've got my own right. table. Cool.
Yes. So, what are you going to be doing on the day? For instance, I mean, how many times have you tabled at a convention?
None.
There you go.
This is a weird one to start with. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
But if anything though, if you're in the comfort of your own home, you're a little bit more comfortable, aren't you?
Not so many smelly people about either.
Yeah.
So that's another.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah.
But. Are you going to be the sort of artist who will sketch on the day, do commissions?
I have no idea. I was just going to wing it. I was hoping that maybe I would do a live stream or something. It depends because the thing is, my schedule is very bizarre at the moment. And I am stupidly busy. I said, like, after Billy, I was going to have time off. I didn't. I just went back into more and more work. But yeah, I'm hoping I'll do a live stream or something vaguely entertaining, but I've no idea yet.
Cool. Ooh,
there you go. That's something to look forward to, isn't it?
Yeah. Just have no idea. Look forward to it.
I was going to do something vaguely entertaining.
Yeah. Could be anything.
Which is how Paul Ross describes this show. oh dear I've never mentioned Paul Rossi.
You'll be Googling it later.
Yeah, yeah. But obviously, where can... I mean, you have quite a... You're on social media, and you've got quite a sort of presence on social media. And certainly when this book came out, you did some great sort of videos showing how your mind was blown by having a printed copy of the book in your hands.
It was insane.
It's very big, isn't it? It's like the size of your head, that book.
I've literally just lifted the book up to my head, and it is.
Perfect.
Wow. Head-sized, which is what
it's great when you see it in the flesh, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's,
No, it was incredible. It was such a bizarre experience. I had no, like, it was so weird because even when I saw it and I was holding it for the first time, it still didn't feel real. Like, it just... so strange. I think it's because I've been, like, dreaming of it for so long that it's, like, it finally happens. I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do, brain shut down.
So have you got a couple of boxes at your house of the book that you're going to be shifting on the day at Thought Bubble? Or is it all done through Avery Hill?
Through Avery Hill. I have no idea how any of this works, and I do not have the organisation skills to sort anything.
That sounds like an artist.
Yeah, right. Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, it's all through Avery Hill. Who have been my saviours throughout this whole process.
We love Avery Hill.
We're big fans of theirs. Yeah,
they're really good stuff. Yeah. So head on to the Avery Hill website to get a copy of this book, because you definitely going to want to get the first book by Zoe, because there's going to be loads more coming
soon. Zoe Thorogood, better than Tilly Walden. That's what the byline is. It says it on a convention table.
There's a testimonial for your next book.
Yeah, she's not going to want to speak to me ever again. I sent her like a really like shaky like, "Hi, I love your work," in her DM so long ago. Now she's going to be like,
"Someone wants to take my power." She must be destroyed.
When I interviewed her at Thought Bubble, I asked her about what she'd done before, and she'd been a figure skater. And then I started talking about Blades of Glory.
So Jesus Christ, Tony! Yeah. I mean,
the only touch you had, Tony.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
Dean.
Yeah, it's true. Dancing on Ice.
Oh my God, we've hit that part of the show.
It's 9:10.
Yeah, it's when it goes wrong. 10 more minutes.
Yeah, 10 more minutes. Wait for it. It's all going to kick off. No, but I was about to reiterate the joke that we said before we started recording. Then I realised, no, don't do it, Vince. It's terrible. No one wants to hear that. But where can people find you on social media, etc., Zoe?
At Zoe Thorogood on everywhere. Yay. Yeah. Originality.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, it's your name, isn't it? It's quite good that your name is your brand rather than having to do something.
Make up something stupid like Never Iron Anything or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah. Who would do that, Tony?
Some knob.
Some knob. Oh, dear. But no.
I've got a new website anyway.
You've got a new website?
Yeah, it's called IHateTillyWalden.com. She knows I don't hate her.
I'm gonna get a cease and desist letter.
She knows I don't hate her.
Everyone knows that whatever we talk about on this show, the hosts are talking absolute bollocks. People are just here for the guests. The rest of it's just complete
toss. Because I haven't been talking absolute bollocks the past hour.
You'll come out of this a different person.
Yeah.
And that's why you're welcome back anytime.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we want you back for the next book. This is cracker.
So remember us when your new book comes out, or you know, if you want to get rid of any of these pages that I mean, seriously though, original pages, people are definitely going to want these, so you should look into that.
When I get my free one, I'll happily sell it for £600 online to anyone.
There you go. We're businessmen.
We've got hosting costs, Zoe. Sorry.
Didn't you have a sponsor? Don't I get any of that sponsor money?
Well, the big sponsor.
Well, that was Zoe, everyone. That was Zoe. She's got to go now. No,
we didn't promise or anything, didn't we? It's not in the contract, is it, Vince? I'm just checking before I know.
Contract.
Need all the money to keep the lights on at ACP Towers.
Yeah.
It's a dirty basement, but otherwise it's all right. Yeah.
All of those grade A's aren't going to pay for themselves. Anyway, right, Zoe's going to stick around.
I think
they're
called class A's, you knob. Grade A's. Oh, you're doing our A levels.
As soon as it came out of my mouth, I thought, Jesus Christ. Hands up who hasn't done drugs.
My parents are going to listen to this. I'm never going to be allowed to talk to anyone ever again.
Why didn't you warn us? Why didn't you say?
No one has ever got it. No.
It on Twitter. They won't see it.
No, they'll be very impressed, as they should be. It's a very good book.
Yeah.
Hold on, you.
Yeah. And you should be very proud of your daughter because she's put up with this for the past hour and a half.
Yes. We haven't finished yet.
We haven't finished. And Zoe's going to stay with us for the rest of the show because she's going to recommend something for you lovely listeners as well. And it's something that we haven't heard about. So we're looking forward to hearing about that as well. Yeah, but before
that, it's
got a mad title. And I mean, she says it's a pretty mad book. So
yeah, looking forward
always,
to this one.
That's always good. But before that, do we have any shout-outs? I know there's one shout-out that, I mean, I could do it, Tony could do it, and we really, I don't think we'll do it justice. So, Dan, the man, Butcher.
Go for it.
There's a Kickstarter coming, isn't there?
Yeah, this
was
Friday.
Was that as excited as you're going to get about it?
Yeah, no. I'm Kickstarter, my comic Viper.
Yes.
Kind of like you... edition, fully coloured, got a bunch of extra material in there, some great rewards. Yeah, I've all set out to launch. I've been working like a bastard over the past couple of weeks trying to get it together, and Tony and Vince have seen the little video I've started putting together for
it. Oh, it looks great,
it's got
man.
A few laughs. Hopefully it will go up on Friday. I fucked up and launched it on Saturday night by mistake and had to quickly cancel it.
Yeah, you've had a bit of a Kickstarter learning process, haven't you, with this book, which is, you know, I mean, all laughs aside, you know, this has been your first Kickstarter, hasn't it, really?
Yeah, I've worked with other people doing Kickstarters, like for the art and stuff,
but
never for running the whole...
You get behind the scenes now, you'll see all the graphs and what's doing well on what day. I also like the fact you put on those, which is becoming the hotness, and a good thing to do is put those pre-order links up, so be notified as soon as the thing goes live. But I noticed you said, I've only just put it up, I've already got 12 followers, and Vince went, like Jesus.
Well, it's not
I laughed to myself about that joke for a good 5 minutes.
Yeah,
it's up for you to decide if I'm Jesus or not.
That's true.
I'm not gonna.
It is.
I'm not gonna go any further on that. Sorry, Zoe's mum and dad.
the last half an hour is just us apologising constantly to Zoe's mum and dad.
We were telling on the Buddha and Muhammad later as well. So don't we? You know, equal opportunities, religious. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so join me for the ups and downs as we see if we can get Viper funded.
There's not going to be no downs, dude. You're going to smash it.
You'll smash it early.
I'm really...
I reckon you'll smash it within 3 days, and then you'll have that quiet period in the middle where you'll keep saying to me, fucking that's quiet in the middle.
Yeah.
And then you'll get another few in the last week again, I reckon.
Now,
that's my prediction.
You are...
Of time, it ends after Thought Bubble, so...
Yeah. And
be talking about it a bit over the Thought Bubble weekend.
Now
you're doing something. We're not going to say too much about it at the moment, but are you still doing that experimental?
Yes,
the Kickstarter pledge. There's a definite a social experiment in some ways, isn't it? Yeah. What you're doing.
Yep.
Right.
It's going to be interesting to see who. Not that I'm going to be kind of too bothered who does it. It's just a social experiment to see.
Yeah.
What makes these things sell? Because there's times we've all looked on the Kickstarter, these comics that have done absolutely crazy money, and it's because they're selling a certain element. So I'm gonna just see how that goes down.
Yeah, we can't say because Zoe's mum and dad are listening, but it will be Dan will be posing naked on YouTube streams.
You've just said it.
Oh, sorry.
Again, this time for Viper, not just for. I've also got another Kickstarter to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
The Spider Forest Collective, which Vanguard is a part of. It's called Thread Secret Places, and it's going fantastic as it is. Thread Secret Places, our anthology of short comics about secret places, fantastic and mundane. And the creators in Spider Forest, there's a bunch of them. They're super talented. It's a 130-page graphic novel, and it looks fantastic. There's a bunch of rewards, bunch of stretch goals, and yeah, looks lovely. So we'll put the link to that
in the show notes.
Nice work.
Yeah,
I've got a few guys. Shall I go? So Space Warp, the print edition, which me and Vince are involved in, is going to print edition very soon. There's a pre-order. You can go at space, on Twitter at Space Warp Comic on Twitter, or getmycomics.com, and there's a link there and you can pre-order it through there. It's going to be well worth looking. It looks amazing. A couple more Kickstarters. The United, Welcome to the Shit Show, a clever postmodern mix of Excalibur and modern, cynical, violent, and sexual, the sexual world of superheroing. An absolutely gorgeous hardcover from our buddy Johnny Cannon, which another little shout out. We had another drink and draw on Friday, which was another triumph. Absolutely. What a fun couple of hours that was, guys. I'm sure you agree. John was there, and everyone else was drawing their asses off, and we did have a big chuckle, and we got a big number. We got a lot of people on it, didn't we? It was it's only growing. And Johnny showed the hardback, and it looks great, I have to say. Yeah, it looks really good. Another Kickstarter, Gunrunner from Chris Sides, by P.L. Woods, hits Kickstarter very soon. I think it's the next few days as well. Published by Marcosia, but through a Kickstarter funded project. And I'll be chatting to Chris about that tomorrow. So there you go.
Awesome.
Speaking
of drink and draws, when it comes to the Thought Bubble weekend, stay tuned because we will be announcing a special drink and draw for that weekend, hopefully. So we're just finalising the details. Obviously, Thought Bubble is going to be publishing their programme very soon. But don't be surprised to see the awesome word in there somewhere.
We might have a few surprises during the couple of hours of drinking and drawing as well.
Yeah. So it's going to be good. And as always with these drink and draws and any of our community stuff, it's open to absolutely everyone.
It is. And we said this before, it's not cliquey.
No.
Everyone is welcome. And I don't tend to draw. I just tend to chat with people about what projects. If you've got a new project coming out, come. It's a good place to talk about it. If you just want to talk about character design or something like we just have with Zoe, come along and talk about
people are showing their art constantly throughout the night and stuff. It's great.
Yeah. It's great. It's really nice. It's a really friendly environment. And you can come along and not say anything at all. You can come along and just listen. We'll get some people who just do that.
Some people do. Yeah. And
It might be good to set up a room in there that does like a critique. So you can say, what do you think of this? And share a bit of art.
Yeah, because
there's quite a few professional artists in the group that will.
There you go. So stay tuned because there's lots more to look forward to. But right now, you've got to look forward to some new books that you need to check out. New books, old books, basically books you haven't heard of before. And as always, the guest goes first. No pressure, Zoe. But,
probably the hardest sell.
Really?
My recommendation is, it's a manga series of 7 books. It's called Goodnight Pun Pun, and it is a horrific story about a teenage boy and his life. And it's very slice of life, but the way it's done is extremely interesting. It's so hard to explain, and anything you say about it makes it sound awful. But essentially, this main character, the art is beautiful. It's by Inio Asano, and I've probably butchered his name. Incredibly, incredibly talented artist and writer. And the main character is portrayed as a bird, a little stickman bird the whole time. And it's just about this kid and his life, his dysfunctional family, and kind of struggling with things through high school. But the way it's done is just so smart, and it's so gripping, and it really will rip your heart out and ruin your life. If you'd like to suffer, please read Goodnight Pun Pun. I'm getting all of my friends to read it, and they all hate me. So
I mean, I just went on Amazon. It's available there, like Kindle editions and stuff, and just looking at some of the preview pages. And when you said the main character is drawn as a bird, everything's super highly detailed, and then there's this little stick bird.
And it's wonderful, and there are reasons for that, but how it's done is, it's so smart. It makes me angry how smart it is. Please read it.
And as it's a manga, how big are each volume, and how many volumes are
it's huge. There's 7 books.
Mind you, that's quite restrained for some manga, isn't it? That's not too bad, is it?
Each volume is about 300 pages.
Right, okay.
They're quite beefy books. But bloody no, it's a brilliant, brilliant story. Cool. And it's like the most in-depth characters you'll ever read about.
I've just read the synopsis, and I think it will sell us all on this book, people. Just the way it's written. All right. Meet Pun Pun Punyama. He's an average kid in an average town. He wants to win a Nobel Prize and save the world. He wants to go far away with his true love. He wants to find some porn. But Pun Pun's life is about to unravel.
Oh. That's it. That's the book.
Yeah. Who doesn't want to read that?
I would say railway sidings are always quite reliable.
Other dodgy places to find your filth are available.
Yeah.
No, but this looks really good. This looks really good. And I'm sure there's lots of our listeners, obviously, out there who know manga. And yeah. And we're constantly being told what to read.
Yeah, so we do. I'm still working my way through the list I got given before. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But this looks really good. I have to check this out. Thank you.
That
very
sounds
much,
great.
Sorry. Yeah. If you really want to disturb your, and was it weird, ruin your life? Isn't that? Isn't
yeah,
that how you
it will. It? You won't want to talk to me ever again after you finish it.
There you go. What a way to sell a book. Oh dear, that's probably how we should sell this show, actually. Anyway, who wants to go next?
Go on, V, you go.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay. We're going a little bit. Are you doing something martial arts as well, Tony?
I am. Yeah, let's do. Yes. You go now, and I'll go next. Yeah. If that's right, then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I've got an issue two of something. I've been a bit slack on my sort of weekly comics buying recently. There's not a lot, you know. There's not too much out there in terms of individual issues that are really sort of floating my boat at the moment. You know, I'm picking up graphic novels and stuff, but, you know, individual issues aren't necessarily grabbing me. But this one is an issue two of something I spoke nary a couple of weeks ago. I love using the word nary. Anyway, this is Snake Claws issue two in the Forbidden Manual, which... it's got the classic sort of martial arts tropes going through it. The cover itself is very martial arts. But basically the synopsis is Snake Claws is like basically your kung fu villain. And he's basically a super powerful, like the best sort of kung fu artist. And he's power mad and he's looking for the Forbidden Manual to basically become the complete sort of warlord. I say warlord, but he's literally walking around by himself and just beating people up, which is pretty amazing. Anyway, in this one, the aging golden dragon warlord, retired and hiding away in a remote location with his daughter, Phoenix, and grandson, attempts to fend off Snake Claws. A futile fight follows, but all hope is not lost as Phoenix takes matters into her own hands. When I mentioned the first issue, which was... what's the title of it? Oh, I've forgotten the title of it now. It was... very much a just have a, if you like those old kung fu sort of movies, which are someone turning up and someone else going, you killed my father, I must destroy you, you know, that sort of stuff.
This, I'm bang up for that.
This plays into that. Oh yeah, Snake Claws and the 13 Carriages of Death. I mean, even the titles themselves are like those classic sort of kung fu movies. This by Edison Neo, this series is, got to give a shout out to the creator, is purely, it's clearly a comic made by someone who loves kung fu movies and knows how to do kung fu action. The story's very, very simple. You've got your villain who's just basically just working his way through people and just absolutely just kicking their asses. But it's the joy of the art form and basically fights and amazing titles for kung fu moves. Like when someone there's a punch to the rib cage, which is called the Organ Rearranger, which is an amazing name. But when that happens, you see those brilliant sort of, when kung fu's done right in a sort of comic book, it's lots of speed lines. But and you can see a character, like three versions of this character sort of moving through the panel before the final. Yeah. I mean, Dan, you've been drawing a lot of fights recently, so you know. That blur of motion as someone sort of connects with some artwork. And naturally you also have those fights that someone gets punched, they stand there and then they go and loads of blood comes out of their mouth like about 5 seconds after it happens. I love it. This book is just great. It's only 79p on Comixology. Now I know if you're in the States, if you want to get a printed copy, I think it's like $4.99 you can get printed copies from as well. So I'll put a link in the show notes because I did tweet about this book and Edison said, thank you very much. And here's where you can, if you want a printed copy as well. I mean, for me, it's perfect. It was, as soon as I saw it, I was thinking, there's not much here. Oh, issue two, immediately bought and immediately read. It works really well with the guided view on Comixology as well, actually, because of the nature of the fights. Do you know what I mean? If when you're going blow for blow in a martial arts fight, I think guided view really works nicely for that. gives it a real cinematic pace.
Yeah.
And the story is very much a character one that I don't know where it's going to go. I always think it's almost like the bad guy should win and the good guys are just scraping past at the end, if you know what I mean. You know, they're just managing to keep the basically the WMD out of his hands. But he's going to get it at some point. We'll have to see. But anyway, that's mine. I will put a link for both issues because I'm really enjoying this comic. And it's fun. We need more fun comics. And this is exactly that. Plus, the covers are badass, and I'd love them as prints. So, yeah, that's mine. The Snake Claws series. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Mine, another Martial Arts comic.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah, it does sound good. Yeah. Foot Fist Frankenstein, which I know I sent you.
Amazing title. Absolutely,
yeah, brilliant.
Amazing title.
Yeah. If you go, Zoe, if you look, have your look at your Twitter, I've sent you a couple of pages just as an example, because I've sent some to the boys as well, just to have a look at. It gives you a sort of a taste of what it's like. It's 122 pages, black and white and red. So it's the three colours, which I kind of really like.
I love that combination, that palette. Yeah. Yeah.
It looks great on this, man. It's just reeks of, because there's a lot of silhouettes used in this one.
Yeah.
It's by Tom Kelly, story and art. And Tom Kelly and Marshall Dillon did the letters. There's a variety of pinups in the back. The one that I probably will say is the best, my favourite, is the Christopher Mitten one, who's a great artist himself. I really like Christopher Mitten stuff. And it shows there's also in the back are some really detailed character designs, which works really well. I'm not a great believer in that whole character design as a backup thing, but this one shows the workings, and you know, I think it would help someone if they were working on their own comic. I know about this because Tom Kelly is in the 11 o'clock Slack group, which I'm in, which is a very sort of chatty Slack group for people who are followers of that particular podcast, as we have been for years, and they're friends of ours. So it's called Foot Fist Frankenstein Volume 1, I Am Born. It's a premise that we've kind of seen, I suppose, with the added extra of it being Frankenstein. So it starts off with Frankenstein monster escapes his chains after being brought to life with the typical lightning strike and all that sort of thing, and he snaps his creator's back and throws him off a snowy mountain, and he then wanders the world a bit lost, and he ends up at a martial arts monastery, as we all do. You know, we all end up at a martial arts monastery in any kind of mountains. Yeah. You know, and the monks, they help him over 16 years to find inner peace and also to train him in martial arts, obviously, which is what happens in every single temple in anywhere, you know, near China or Japan or anywhere. And then a woman also turns up, a woman and a baby in the snow, and they've collapsed, and they're also taken in, and they're giving sanctuary by this monastery. But then one day a warlord turns up who's described as sort of there's a red skull element to his face, a sort of warlord with a red skull mask or face, it's hard to tell really, a sort of demonic mask to him, and he doesn't care about the woman, but he wants the boy back because it's his son. And it fucking absolutely erupts. It just goes for it, like full on sea of arrows in the air, spears, and Frankenstein's monster just plows through everyone. He's the beast. He just goes for it. And I won't ruin it from there. I think it's worthy of a read. That takes you to about, I think, about just over a third of the way through. And it's interesting because it's a mixture of the legend of stuff like Firepower and Kunlun and Iron Fist and stuff like that. But it's also mixed up with the Frankenstein monster myth, which is interesting. And then later, not a small amount of Bruce Lee's Game of Death. And anyone familiar with that movie knows the challenges that the central character in that goes through. And it's done very similarly, which I love that setup. Mm. I just love that you're challenging me.
Isn't it? And
he works his way up a temple and he has to fight the master of each discipline. And, you know, it's like that. And it's very good, well done. And I think the thing is with Frankenstein is the nature of the creature is, okay, he's this unstoppable brute, you know, sewn together without a soul, but, you know, somehow. But there's a tragic quality to him as well. I think there's a vulnerability often to. Do you think so? Is that what you say?
I agree. Yeah, definitely. There's a different sort of like he doesn't really have an identity, or he's kind of like an innocent thrown into the world and has to find his feet.
And he's got that unprejudiced wisdom that grows from being at this temple. And there's a certain amount of inner peace that you'll appreciate at the end of the story, which was a nice little twist on it. The art, I think have you had a chance to look at it, Zoe, have you?
Yeah, I've just been looking at it now.
It's lovely, really amazing. Cool. Very heavily designed, a lot of use of very cool silhouettes.
Design and color work. I mean, that red and black the palette is just, and also the use of lettering sometimes for a page is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to put it near to the nearest thing I could think of would be Frank Miller circa Sin City. There's a little bit of that in there. You know, that brutality, that bulky, strong fighting. You know, and there's a real non-stop. I mean, they just go for it and go for it and go for it. If you watch a movie, we were talking about it recently, weren't we? The Raid 2. They have a fight in it, and the fight goes on so long, I don't know how they've got any bones left in their bodies. They've been hit so many times. And there's an element to this in this. He's got arrows sticking out of him, and he's been slashed with knives and spears and all sort of things. But he fights on for a reason, and it's the ending. What happens at the end is a really interesting decision, I think, from a story point of view and also from a writing point of view. I really admired it. I won't ruin it because I think you should buy it. Tom is a nice guy. We all chat often on the little group, and if you go to 11 o'clock comics previously, he's done a little interview about it as well. And if you go to www.tomkellyart.com, and I think now that it's out of the Kickstarter, I think you can pre-order it. I just got a digital copy, but I think I'd quite like a hard copy of this now. And I'd be interested to see if he does a second volume, because the amount of work that went in this one, I can't imagine it was a quick bit of work either. And we were bemoaning it. We're not bemoaning it. We were passing comment on it last week about, it used to be when we started this show, Zoe, that every comic would be 20 pages and we could probably review it in the half hour before we came online. You know what I mean? We could read it and assess it. But these days, everything, including you, I'd like to blame you as well, seems to be in the hundreds of pages now. You know, but, We're a richer medium for it, I think. But there you go. Yeah. It's very good. Foot Fist Frankenstein. There you go.
Amazing. Great name as well.
Yeah.
All right, Dan, do you want to sign us off?
Yeah. I'm going to review a book Tony bought for me a few weeks ago. Fear Raid.
Oh, nice. Oh. Good stuff, man. Yeah.
Remender. It's Rick Remender, Tony Moore, inks by Sean Parsons, Mike Manley. Oh, God, there's Mike loads of people in this. Yeah. Cards by Lee Lafferidge. Letters Russ Wharton, colors on the second part is Michelle Madsen. I really enjoy this. This is so great. It's just like, it's not like they're like a high science fiction with kind of like, it's just action. It's like a kind of, he's an Indiana Jones kind of Han Solo type character who's just sort of getting in there and getting stuff done. But filled with this massively creative. And alien worlds and cultures all around him, but it's got that kind of aliens touch with like the truckers in space. There's these aliens, but they're doing jobs, and it's not kind of like anything different. You see a six-legged sort of green alien walking past this on his way to do something, and that's the way like the society and space culture is now. And it's just unapologetic fun. It's really, really. Yeah, really good read.
And it's got a great name, man.
Yeah, yeah, Remender's work, there's so many layers to it as well. As you discover the main character and how broken he is in his own way, you know, as it goes on, it's beautiful stuff.
I don't know what has happened to his, because he's the last remaining fear agent, as far as I know. So I don't know what's happened to the rest of them.
Yeah.
I presume that might get revealed.
There's a few more volumes. There's a couple more volumes, I think, of the one you've got, and then there's like a sort of an extras one that's got all the extra bits in it, I think. Yeah.
I've got an oversized with the omnibus, the first omnibus that I need to pick up and read through again, because that's beautiful stuff.
Yeah, it's been, people have been talking about that book for 10 years easily. Yeah, about how good it is, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you haven't checked out, all right, that's the thing, is that you have these great books and everyone talks about them, and then give it a couple of years and it goes quiet. And I think it's nice sometimes to, like, we've been told sometimes, like, is it Deadly Class was brought up and stuff, and it's like, I really need to get round to reading that.
There's that little period of Image, especially when they really grabbed hold of science fiction, didn't they? And they had writers like that, you know, involved. Yeah. And I think there's that real sweet spot for Image for a while, wasn't there?
And that's why this is a recommendation section. Isn't it? Because we're not always talking about, here's the latest books that we got sent for free this week. And what sometimes it's like, look, you need to read this book because some people might have been asleep.
Oh, Christ, we're more likely to recommend stuff we bought, guys. I've got to tell you, recently, it used to be that when we started this, it was all books we got sent in. But this is stuff we've chosen. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and they're all worth picking up, including The Impending Blindness of Billy Scott.
Nicely smooth.
Especially
smoothly done.
That one.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
I'm impressed you haven't been a hard sell right up until there, Zoe. We're English after all, aren't we? Yeah. Let's face
it. She spent the first 90 minutes thinking, what the hell have I got myself in for?
Yeah, please let this end. Yeah.
No, I'm fully aware.
did anyone from Avery Hill warn you about this podcast? Because they've all been on.
No.
All right, tell us later. Tell us later.
Yeah, there you go. Very, very diplomatic there. But we hope you enjoyed this week's episode, folks. It's certainly been a fun one for us. And, yeah, you'll never know the disgraceful humour that happened before that show.
even I'm a little bit ashamed of us.
Yeah.
I want to keep my career, please.
Well, you shouldn't have come on this show. Yeah. No, but yeah, it was thoroughly enjoyable. Zoe, you're welcome back anytime. And like I say, we hope you enjoyed it, folks. If there's anything we spoke about that you want us to talk about more, or perhaps there you've got some events or online events, or if you're anyone out there who just want us to give a shout out, please get in touch with us. Missed a shout out. Big shout out to Nottingham Comic Con.
Oh, of course. Bloody hell.
Yeah.
We would have been there, wouldn't we? We'd have been there yesterday.
Yeah.
That's one of my favourite events of the year, Nottingham, easily. Yeah. I love Nottingham.
Yeah, it's great.
Top people.
Great show. And Nottingham's obviously going through a bit of a time of it at the moment, so we hope everyone involved with the show is doing all right and is safe and healthy. And you'll come back strong, and everyone that tables there or goes to that show has a really good time. So, yeah, show them your support. They're always nice to us as well. So
make sure you book a table for next year. I think if you go to their Twitter, they've released the date, haven't they, for next year?
Yeah.
I'll certainly be there, and I know the pod will be there, and Avery Hill, Nobrow will be there and everything. Yeah. So, yeah, please do.
Yeah, and they're nice to us, which immediately means that they're our best friends. That's what you've got to do. Yeah, we're cheap like that. And you can follow us on Twitter at The Awesome Pod. Well, we'll be announcing probably a lot more with Thought Bubble just around the corner. And who knows, some future guests that may... Just keep your socks on, people. It'll be difficult, but keep your socks on. That's all I've got to say.
We're going
to
blow them off.
Actually, I don't want to big it up just in case it completely falls through. We shouldn't say anything right now. Yeah. Anyway.
We're living in the glow at the moment. It's fine.
Yeah, living in the glow. I love it. There's the title of your next book, Zoe.
I'll pass, I think.
Oi.
Unbelievable. Well, I suppose it is that time of the show where the guests just... don't need to be nice to us anymore.
Yeah. Oh, I've got to go now. Yeah.
If you do the Book of Faces, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. If you want to join a fantastic community of people on Facebook who just want to talk about comics, creating comics, events, no hard selling of anything, it's just a lovely group of people on there. There's a group on Facebook called Awesome Comics Talk. All one word, search for it, join it and get involved. There's three admins for the page, just to make sure you are listeners or... you know, just nice people. Actually, you don't even have to listen to the show, do you? You've just got to be nice.
Oh, you'll get through if you say, oh, not yet or something. It will put you through. Yeah.
And get involved, because the comics community is a community. So let's keep it alive. Thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. We're on iTunes. We're on Amazon Music now.
Are we?
Yeah, apparently. Nice. Yeah. So
oh,
we need to, we've officially become legit.
Does that mean we can say that Alexa name and she'll play your podcast?
Probably.
Yeah.
Have you got one?
Nah.
Gangster, innit? Yeah. We're also available on
DVD player.
He's just talking to his Betamax. Play it. Play it.
Press play.
We're also on like Spotify, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife. What other networks are we on, Tony?
Podberry Cheeseman.
There's a joke that no one should ever know the punchline for. And where can people find us online, etc., Tony?
tributepress.bigcartel.com for all your not safe for work comic reading needs.
Yeah, go on. Have you got that written down?
I know off by heart. I'm that cool now. I'm a publicity machine.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of
machines,
you've
been banging out the old what do you call it, podcast recently, haven't you, Tony?
I have, we just hit 5,000 downloads. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Nice. Yeah, very pleasant. Yes. These two gentlemen have been on there. Well, a couple of our highest-rated episodes, obviously. But,
it's
been good
fun. You don't need to bar us up, Tony. Yeah,
you know I do.
I listened to that several times to get it up in the ranking. No,
oh, thank you, man. Yeah, we just done one about Captain America. Got there's go to the Calvin and Hobbes one. It's my favourite one for a while. Everyone's been really good, but the Calvin and Hobbes was just like this really nice episode of me and Eamon talking about Calvin and Hobbes, and it's good fun.
Yeah, a comic that everyone should experience. Oh, one time they should. Life. Yeah. It's just pure joy. Much like Dan, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com. And same with the views, you can get Viper on Friday on Kickstarter.
Yes.
Yep. Or if you listen to this on Friday, it's available now. If you listen to it after Friday, go get it.
Go pledge, babes.
Yeah, I don't understand time. It's really weird at the moment. You can find me on social media, which is basically either something I've doodled or pictures of my cats, at Jester Diablo. And Zoe, you have been an awesome guest. Thank you very much again for joining us this week.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun,
No, you've ruined it now.
I'm joking. It was a joke. It's been great.
What will your mum and dad say?
Don't talk to them again.
They'll say you're weird friends on that podcaster.
Keep you updated. You might all find yourself blocked at the end of next week.
Oh no. Don't say that. I will legitimately cry.
No, don't worry.
Oh, good. That was a close
one. Blocked you now. I've just checked.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, if a guest blocks us midway through a recording, that would be quite
astonishing. I've got to tell you, Zoe, if you did it for a laugh, I would laugh my nuts off. That would be the funniest thing.
That would
have
been so good, wouldn't it? Oh, yeah.
Well, did none of you have any thought to my feelings at all?
I haven't for 5.5 years now, so don't start.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But Zoe, where can people again? Where can people find you online?
At Zoe Thorogood.
There you go.
Chaos.
Yep, for the utter chaos, hilarious videos, and a book amazing the size artwork. Of your head. Yeah, books the size of your head, and the book, of course, you can get from Avery Hill. So we'll put all the links in the show notes. And you can all go forth and order it and basically just enjoy some comics. Thank you for listening, everyone. Hope you enjoyed this episode. It was another fun one, and there's more fun to come. So go forth wherever you are in the world. We hope you're healthy, happy, doing okay, whether you're inside your house or whatever you're doing. We hope you're okay, because we all love you, don't we?
You do, really. Yeah.
Cool, that was
yeah,
good.
Sure.
Oh my God! It can't be that I'm the only positive voice on this show.
Can't love everyone, can you? Have you seen the people out there?
Don't get me started, Tony. I had to go into my co-op today, and that was an experience.
I've been in the co-op with you.
Look, off the show, man. People don't want to know about the real life stuff. Anyway, in all seriousness, go forth, read loads of comics, have a great week. And from all of us here, Dan, Tony, Zoe and myself, read loads of comics, make loads of comics, just stay brilliant. And as always, what do they do guys?
Stay awesome.
Well, job done.
Yeah, that's gold. Job done, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, Zoe, you didn't say it, so...
I didn't know we had a gimmick. A
gimmick.
I wasn't prepared.
She called it a gimmick.
No, it's great. I love it.
I am shook.
they bully me into doing it every week.
Don't say that.
It's brilliant. It's very charming.
What happened to you in the co-op, Vince? Hey? Anything of note? What happened to you in the co-op? You had a bad time.
Wasn't that woman?
I'm
going to
say things that people shouldn't say on air. So, for now, you just have to imagine me ranting people, which probably won't be that hard. But until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Bye.